But we're going to open our Bibles this morning to the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, and we're just going to look at verses 26 through 38 this morning. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." And Lord, we just pray that you would bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I trust that through song and the scripture readings, we've gotten a real general overview of why Jesus came to earth. He came to not only to forgive the world of their sins. He was that light that came into the world, that light that was rejected by his own. But that light went out unto the nations. We saw that it's in Matthew chapter 3. In song, we saw it in Zebulun and Naphtali, those nations outside of what was then the commonwealth of Israel. They were in darkness, but now they've seen a great light. We see it in these passages here, the virgin birth, along with Isaiah chapter 7, another prophecy that's amazing that took place. We've looked at just a small fraction of the prophecies about Jesus being born to be king, born to be Savior, born to be the Messiah. And that is just simply amazing. I happen to hear an old broadcast of Dave Hunt a few days ago, and he was talking about, he's been passed away for several years now, but he was talking about a gentleman, a scientist, that took all of the prophecies of the Old Testament and their fulfillment of them through Jesus Christ. And at first, in 1953 or so, this gentleman, Dr. Stoner, took just 8 of the prophecies of the Messiah. And he took those and he ran what the probability of those would be that they could all be fulfilled. And what he showed, just 8 of the some 300 prophecies of Jesus Christ, here's what he found out. He found out that it was a ratio of 10 to the 17th power that these would be fulfilled. That's a 1 and 17 zeros after it. That's like a million millions. And that 8 prophecies could be fulfilled. He said that this would have it would be able to cover the state of Texas in silver dollars all across Texas, and they would be inches deep, the chances of a prophecy being correct would be like you finding the exact silver dollar you're looking for. A virtual impossibility. But yet, with God, these things were possible because God designed it all to happen. None of the prophecies of Christ Jesus were accidents, just as you weren't an accident as well. Dr. Stoner went on a few years later, and he ran the probabilities of more prophecies, that 48 prophecies that have been fulfilled out of the 300, and the ratio was 1 to the 157th power. In other words, there was no accident about what happened with Jesus. It was foreseen and foreordained by God Himself that He would come. Yes, He would be born to a virgin. No accident. It wasn't just a young lady. She was a virgin. An impossible prophecy, but yet God brought it forth. The scriptures we just read, she went to her cousin Elizabeth, who would then have John the Baptist. That was foretold in prophecy as well. And oh yes, Elizabeth was merely barren. But yet, Mary was yet a virgin when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. Not an accident. Jesus came to be king. Yes, He is king today in the overarching sphere of the world. God is in total control, but on this earth today, we are under the control of other leaders that have the dominion over the rule of the land, but Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. He will rule and reign. As Butch read in the prophecies of Zechariah, He will rule. He will establish His kingdom on this earth. You know what we have to do? We just have to get out of the way and trust Him. Be saved. Said, yes, He's going to come with His saints. Guess who those saints will be? Those saints will be those that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They will rule and reign with Him in a literal Jerusalem, a literal kingdom that will be just more marvelous than any kingdom you can imagine today. And He came. It's amazing. I think back to where David's throne was promised that would be everlasting. It was a prophecy in Numbers 24. And this prophecy was by Balaam. We all know Balaam, do we not? What was he most known for? And that he was reprimanded by a donkey. Because he was in the business, and I say business literally, of giving you the prophecy of the day for just a little bit of cash. And that's what King Balak was trying to do. But God used that donkey to stop him in his tracks. And he then preached, proclaimed what God told him to do. And here's what Balaam said to Balak. He says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Yes, do you know who this star was? This star was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing how even science today will try to figure out that star of Bethlehem. What could it have been? Could it have been a comet or just something else? I know what it was. It was a miraculous, one-of-a-kind move of God to show who the real star was. The Lord Jesus Christ. He went on, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. This scepter would be a rod that would come out of Israel. Again, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, born to be king. And that was earlier prophesied by Isaac, or by Jacob rather. when he gave the blessings to the tribes of Israel, and he said to Judah, the scepter will remain with you forever. It's another prophecy, was that Judah would have that scepter coming out of it. See, David, I want to turn to one more place in the scriptures here. One more place, I want to go to 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want to go down to verse number 12. Let's go back to verse 10. It says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, and they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. I want to stop there for just a second. Here's the Lord says he's going to make a house for David. David set out to make a house for the Lord. But yet God stopped him dead in his tracks. Why? Because David was a man of war. He was one that loved to shed blood. The coming king would be a peacemaker, a peaceful king. Let's continue here. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Do you remember what the seed is in the book of Galatians? That seed is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. How long will it be? Forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. See, there's two sides to Nathan's prophecy to David. Number one, this kingdom would be an immediate kingdom. His son Solomon would take over. Do you know what Solomon means? Solomon is the same word where we got shalom from. Peace. Solomon would be a peaceful man, but yet Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon would run into problems, would he not? He had a woman problem and an idolatry problem. So that kingdom would be taken away from his family after him. And we see that. We see Jeroboam and Rehoboam being separated. And only one of the tribes would remain. And that one tribe was the tribe of Judah. Amen. All the other tribes would be taken into captivity, but God would keep Judah so that scepter could come out of Judah. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what do we have today? We have a kingdom that's out of this world right now. We have a kingdom that's coming. But before that time, when it comes, and it will be coming, Jesus Christ will be ruling and reigning on that throne. But yet we have something that takes precedence today. And that is called the gospel. That is called the gospel. That gospel says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Jesus came, he suffered, died, and was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. That's what we're about today. Oh, I can only think of Christmas. I said this last week. I think I'll say it again. Think of it as adults. Think of how you looked at Christmas while you were children. You had this expectation of gifts, this expectation that all these lights and all these days were coming, and you marked it on the calendar that this day was approaching. Remember those days? Remember being a little kid? I can remember still putting out a cookie for what's his name? Rudolph the reindeer. I put that out and he definitely took it. And you know what happened to that dish? It was broken. You know how it was broken? Rudolph's nose was too hot for it and he made it break. But the expectation I had, when we turn into adults, that expectation becomes drudgery, does it not? But we got to put up with another time of the season. We need to put up with the traffic and the bills and all that. But let's look to Christ, Him, and what He's done. He's given you a gift, if you're a believer, that will never, ever fade away. And that gift is eternal life. And that gift is to partake in the coming kingdom, which He has established or will establish. Amen. We're here now as partakers of the blessings to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And yes, when that kingdom goes out to all the seed of Jacob, that kingdom goes out to all who believe. We partake in that kingdom. So with that, I say Merry Christmas. Amen. Think of Jesus and have that expectation of what He has done. And not only what He's done on your behalf, but what He is going to do. Amen. The future's not too bright for planet Earth unless you're a believer. Then we have all hope that Jesus is going to come. He's going to take us out of here, and we get to come back ruling and reigning with Him. This is the message of Christ as King, as Savior. In Isaiah 8, when Dana read, he's after the order of Melchizedek. Today he is our high priest. He hears everything we need. He listens to everything we need. But He's coming again as King. Do you believe that today? Well, if you believe it, you have a hope that is so secure. Why? Because we didn't have part in it. It's all of God's work in sending His Son. Think of the odds. Remember, 1 out of 10 to the 157th power that just 48 prophecies of Christ could be fulfilled. And yet we think we can go to the moon and the stars and find all this secret knowledge to learn more about God, when all we have to do is look to His Word. Amen. This Christmas, look to Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. Amen.